Okay, so I think we're pretty much done. So what I just said a moment ago was that the greatest commandment and the first commandment is that you would love God. So the first and most important and greatest thing you can ever do with your life is to love God. Put your hand up if you think that's true. There's also another verse in the Bible where it says, we love him because he first loved us. So I want you guys to follow my logic. Micah and Fabio, follow my logic, okay? The most important thing you could ever do is love God. And then the Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. So what do you have to do to achieve the most important thing in your life? If we love him because he first loved us. Yes, you're right. All you really need to do in a day-to-day basis to be great in God's eyes and to achieve what he's called you to achieve is to be loved by God. Our purpose today in coming together isn't to have like a nice pep talk and pep rally where I can be like, you guys are great, and then you go out excited and then nothing changes. The reason you guys are here today and the reason I'm standing with this mic, the reason we're praying, the reason we're singing is so that you guys can meet God and be loved by him today. That's why you guys are sitting in your seat right now is so that God can come and love you. Why the whole purpose of everything is so that you can leave here today loved by God in a real experiential way. So we're going to talk really quickly about what unconditional love means. Somebody define unconditional for me. Ernesto? Without condition. That's good. It's a good way of defining unconditional. So I believe that a lot of us understand that God's love is unconditional in our heads, but in our hearts we still live and work as if it's not. So we're going to talk really quickly about what it actually means for God's love to be unconditional. And then me, Jez, and the wonderful Shekinah Slade are going to talk really quickly about how God's unconditional love has healed us and helped us through real things in our life. And then we're going to pray and God's going to come and love you guys and change your hearts and change our hearts. If unconditional means without condition. Listen to this phrase. I want you guys to explain to me. I'm going to come closer, first of all. I'm going to say a sentence, and I want more than one person to describe to me what they think it means, or if they think it's true or not. You can say, I don't think that's true, because that's fine. Okay, I'm going to read it out now. You become what you think the most important person in your life thinks about you. Now, that is like a serious, you know, like tongue twister? That's like a tongue twister for your brain. It's like a brain twister, because it's kind of hard to understand first. But I'm going to read it slowly. You become what you think the most important person in your life thinks about you. Do you guys understand what that means? Can somebody give me an example of what that would look like? Maybe a non-spiritual one first. Sam, can you do that? Yeah. So that's a really good example. Sam's like talking about your friends at high school or at work or wherever. And if you start kind of what they think about you, you kind of adapt to who you are and the way you act and the things you do to fit that. And you kind of change who you are based on that. So I'm going to read it one more time. We're going to keep reading it so that we understand it. You become what you think the most important person in your life thinks about you. So what about an example is like a father. If I think that my father rejects me and doesn't love me and thinks I'm useless and I'll never succeed, even if I don't agree with that in myself, if I'm thinking that that is how he thinks about me and he's the primary person in my life, the primary influence, not always, but often, that is the path that I will end up going down. I will end up living less than my potential and I won't achieve all that I could. Does that make sense? Peer pressure is a really good example as well. So I believe this is really, really, really true of God. You become what you think the most important person in your life thinks about you. I would hope, like certainly in our minds, but not necessarily, but certainly in my life, the most important person is Jesus and is God. But you see in that quote, it says what you think the most important person in your life thinks about you. So I'm going to become what I think the most important person in my life thinks about me. I choose to make, and I hope you guys choose to make, Jesus and God the most important person in your life. But I won't actually necessarily become, as I mature and grow older, I won't necessarily become how God feels about me. I will become and I'll conform to what I think God feels about me. Do you guys understand that? Does that make sense? So what are some examples of the things which you guys feel God feels about you? Like true or false, positive or negative? Abby? He thinks you're funny, so that's good. Jez? Oh, I don't, Jez said, which was quite mean. Anybody else? Something you think that God thinks about you? Anything? I'm going to push on this. I'm going to push through the awkward silence because I want to hear your answers. Josh Chambers, Daniel Mitchell, Kennedy, what does God think about you? When he thinks of you, what words spring to mind? Anybody? Girls? What does God think about you? I heard pretty and crazy over here. I don't know if those were together or separate. Son from Jez. He's your son. Anything else? creative. That was cool. Any more positive things? Daniel Coutts, something positive which God thinks about you, you personally. You're smart. Okay, that's good. Nothing. He thinks nothing about you. I don't think that's true. So what about something negative, which sometimes we feel God thinks about us? See how I'm pushing for honesty and for our hearts and for, I don't really just want to talk for 15 minutes and nothing happened. What about something that you feel God thinks about you, which maybe isn't the best or isn't positive? I could feel sometimes that God thinks that I'm not humble enough, or I'm too prideful, or sometimes I can think that God thinks about me that I try too hard and I stress too much. What are you guys' beliefs about God? I'd like one from this four row of girls. Something which you feel God thinks about you, positive or negative. He thinks you're pretty, that's true, and that's good. Okay, so that first quote which I was saying, you guys are going to conform to what you think God thinks about you. So that's why it's really, really, really important to understand the truth of what God feels about you and not to be caught up in lies about how he feels about you. Because it's very easy for us to believe something which isn't actually true about how God feels about us. So the lie which I'm going to talk about today, has anybody heard about an ungodly belief? You guys know what ungodly beliefs are? It's basically something which we believe in our day-to-day, and when we come to a situation, we believe something which is ungodly and is not true, but we believe it to be true. So I'm going to talk about a specific ungodly belief today, which is a really simple one, but I really feel like God just wants to touch it today and move some things in our hearts about it, which is the lie that is so deeply engraved in most of us, we don't even know that it's there. The world conditions us to believe this. This is the lie, God's love for you requires something of you. That's a lie which so many of us believe in our hearts and in our day-to-day when we come to pray, when we come to church. God's love for me requires something of me. And sometimes it's easy to dismiss, like, oh, I don't actually think that about how God feels about me. And maybe you don't. But I think that all of us struggle with that to a degree. From when you guys were born, from when you came into the world, there was instantly a fight for your life between heaven and hell. Your guys' soul and your guys' life and your guys' heart was instantly in the balance. And there were two people fighting for it. God and the enemy. And from the very first day we were born and when we started to grow up, we were conditioned to believe that love and acceptance and value comes as I do something. Have you guys ever realized how difficult it is to... We were actually looking at a video which was talking about this on Friday night in our youth service. Have you guys ever told a story and kind of embellished it to make you seem a little bit better? Put your hand up if you've done that before. I have definitely done that before. Why do you think you do that? What do you think is the heart motivation for doing that? It's like a need for love and a need for acceptance and a need for value coming from the people around you as a result of the things that you do. From like the earliest age in primary school, secondary school, everything that we go through, we're conditioned to believe this thing that love and value and acceptance and affirmation require something of you. You need to do something first. And when we come into our relationship with God, it's so difficult to get out of our pattern. Out of that pattern, I don't know if anybody ever fully manages it in their lifetime. But every day we need to be trying to do that more. So true unconditional love only comes from God. All other forms of love we've ever experienced in this world have not been truly unconditional. God's love is the only perfect love. So that's why we're here today, to experience that. It's really easy to subconsciously believe that God's love requires something of us, or to believe that it has something attached to it, or believe that it has something expected of us for it. So today we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit. God wants to replace that truth, that lie, with the truth today. Psalm 56, or 51. If you guys have your Bible, go to Psalm 51. Verse 6 says this. David is speaking to God, and he says, "You desire truth in the inner being. Make me therefore to know wisdom in my inmost heart." That's so cool. David is basically praying to God, and he's saying, within the very core of me, within the very like inward part of who I am, I want to know your truth. The truth is today, guys, that regardless of anything you do or anything you've ever done, God's love for you is untouchable and unchangeable, and it never moves. But that truth needs to go, just like Psalm 51 says, really deep right into our hearts. God wants to tell us this morning that he delights in us, and he enjoys us, and he is brought pleasure by us. You guys know, okay, I'm going to read really quickly. Go to Song of Solomon. That's something you very rarely heard in church. Does anybody have a Bible? Yeah, you guys do. Turn to Song of Solomon. This is like on the spur of the Song of Solomon moment. So Song of Solomon is a book which is basically talking about the beauty and the awesomeness of love between a husband and a wife. That's first of all what it's talking about. But then second of all, it's really talking about the beauty and the amazingness of love between God being our husband and us being his bride. Because you guys are all part of God's bride and God is your husband. There's a verse in the Bible which says your maker is your husband. Do you guys feel like you relate to God as someone who would love you like a husband would? Someone who would love you, give their whole life every day to love you? Do you guys relate to God as when you wake up every morning, you know that God who's next to you, regardless of anything you do, will see you and value you for who you are and give his whole self to love you? Because that's what a husband's supposed to be. And that's who God is to us, more than any husband could be. So I still haven't found it, which is quite discouraging. But if you guys have a Bible, share it with the people next to you. Okay, Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 14. So in Song of Solomon, it's basically a story about Solomon, who's the king, and the Shulamite, who is the lady. And they're basically like falling radically and madly in love. And so this part of the book is about the man, which is Solomon, talking to the woman he loves. And this verse, we can take it and we can get insight into how God feels about us. So I want you guys to think about this. Imagine God saying this. Imagine this being true of you in God's eyes. Actually, you know what? I'm going to do something else first. So before you look at that verse, or before I read that out, I want everybody to do something which is really intense and really difficult. And I want you guys to promise you won't share what I'm about to ask you to do with the person next to you. Okay? Put your hand up if you promise me that. You won't tell the person next to you what I'm about to ask you to think of. Okay? So I want you guys to think of the single worst moment in your life, the lowest point of your life, the point where you have messed up more than anything else, where you have blown it so badly, the point in your life you can think of where it's like, I have never made a bigger mistake than that. I've never been more ashamed of myself than I was then. Think of that moment. And don't tell it to the person next to you. So I can definitely think of mine, unfortunately. Mine springs straight to mind. So I'm going to tell, has anybody got one? Put your hand up if you've got one. It's okay if you don't. That's interesting how most people have one. So I'm going to share my one really quickly and be open and honest. My heart is an open book. So when I was, I think I was about 15. I was 15 or 16. And basically, I thought it would be a good idea. And well, I don't even know if I thought it would be a good idea. I don't know what was going through my mind. But I went to a corner store in Aberdeen in Scotland, which is my hometown back home, and I went in and I like dressed up really like old and stuff like that, and I went in and basically bought a liter of vodka, so like a liter this big. And this is not, I'm like, I am not trying to promote this as a good idea, because when we get to the end of the story you will understand that it is not a good idea. So me and some of my friends basically brought that back, and I ended up drinking a lot of it really quickly. And my dad had to come to my friend's house and pick me up and carry me home out of my friend's house. And I came back to the house, and my brother, my mum, and my dad were home. And my brother was upstairs, and he was like, what's going on? Because he heard, like, crashing in the front door and stuff like that. And my dad and my mum basically said to Ian, David's come home drunk. And then Ian got, like, really scared and worried and, like, went upstairs and just basically shut himself in his room. And then my mum was like, have you guys ever disappointed your mum? Put your hand up if you've ever disappointed your mum. Okay, put your hand down. Put your hand up again if the look on her face is the single most crushing thing you've ever seen in your life. Yeah. So I'd really hurt and frightened and scared my brother. And my mum wasn't like disappointed in me like, oh, David, I don't love you anymore. But you could tell that if a mum loves you, that if you've done something like that to yourself, then she's crushed. I've crushed the heart of my mum. My dad isn't ashamed of me because he's an amazing dad. But you can tell he's worried about me and he's hurt as well. And then basically I go upstairs and have the worst feeling I've ever had in my life as well. And I've never, in that moment right there, imagine me, my third story, on my bed, bowl to throw up in right next to my bed, the worst, most ashamed I have ever been. I've never been more at the rock bottom than I am right there. Okay? Can you guys picture that in your mind? And then think of your worst moment as well. And then I'm going to read this verse. And this is how God feels about us and sees us in terms of who we are in all of our lives and in the worst moment of our life. When I was there, the most ashamed I've ever been, the more, like I've never messed up more. This is how God felt about me. He says, O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. God's love for us is so strong, and he delights in us so much, and he feels so strongly about us, that even when I'm in my worst moment, when I'm so ashamed, when I think I'm so worthless, God looks at me, and he is taken aback by how beautiful he sees me. Do you guys think that puts a new spin on God's love being unconditional? So you guys think of your worst moment. God's love for you is absolutely as fierce and as strong and as jealous and as powerful and as compassionate and as kind and as strong and true and unwavering in that moment in your life than it is now and as it ever will be. That's how unconditional God's love is. It just doesn't depend at all on what we do or what we don't do. There's another verse in Psalms. If you have your Bible, go to Psalm 139. Yeah, Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18. I'm going to read this out. This is David talking about, for the verse before, he's like, God, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I run away from you, God? I can never get away from you. And he basically says this. He says, oh, hang on, that's the wrong one. It is Psalm 139. Where is it? Anyway, I know it. It says something like, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in hell, you are there. What David is talking about when he says, if I make my bed in hell, when I commit the worst sins, when I'm walking far from you, when I'm doing the worst I've ever done in my worst moment in life, you are right there beside me and you feel exactly the same about me. That's how powerful and how unconditional and how true God's love is, that no matter what you do, that's how he feels about you. I'm going to talk about one more verse really quickly, John 17, 23 to 24. I won't read the whole thing. Basically, the last bit of it says, Jesus is praying to God, and he's praying for everyone who will ever believe in him. So he's praying for you and me. You know that Jesus literally said a prayer for you? Like this was the prayer in John 17. And he said that they may know that you love them even as you love me. And he's talking to God the Father. So Jesus basically said there, God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Answer me this question. Could God love Jesus anymore? No. God and Jesus have been together forever, for eternity. There's bits in the Bible where God says to Jesus, my soul delights in you. Like all of who I am rejoices in you. And Jesus said, God feels the same way about you in love as he does about Jesus. Okay, so Jesus was perfect. Put your hand up if you're perfect. So on the scale of perfectness, Jesus is here and you are 4 million miles that way. Do you guys get that? Like Jesus is so much better than me and in terms of doing what's right and so much better than all of you guys. So Jesus and me and you, completely opposite end of the scales in terms of being perfect and doing what's right. You guys believe that? Do you guys understand that? Okay, so the scale of God's love for me and you and Jesus, Jesus is here. Where are me and you? No, we're in exactly the same place. Me and Jesus and you and Jesus are loved by God in the exact same way, even though Jesus was completely perfect and I was completely sinful. Do you guys understand how that means that what you do is completely separate from God's love for you? If Jesus is perfect, you are completely imperfect, but God loves you the same, then what you do means nothing in terms of how he feels about you. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm really going to quickly ask Jez, are you okay? Or Shekinah? Jez or Shekinah? To come up and share what we talked about really quickly. So these guys are going to come up and basically talk about how a situation in their life where God's unconditional love has brought them through something they struggled with or something which was hard.
I couldn't think of what I wanted to say. Something I struggled with. I can't speak too long because we haven't got ages. I grew up in a Christian home. My mum and my dad both followed God. But actually, my relationship with my dad was really bad. Have you guys ever had a fight with either of your parents? An argument with either of your parents? You know how normally you have one that you go to and one that you don't go to because you know the one that you go to will give you everything that you want? Yeah, okay, right. Me and my dad, because we were so different, like our personalities were so different, I'm very, very strong-willed. And I like to express that sometimes. Whereas my dad isn't, he's more of an introvert, he likes to kind of hold it in. And what happened was, my dad worked all the time, so I never actually got to really see my dad. And as I grew up, all the way through my childhood, I never really got to play sports with my dad. How many of you guys play sports with your dad? A few of you? A little bit. Okay, so I never got to really do that because my dad worked too much, which meant that when he came home, how do you think he felt? How do you think he was? Tired. Like, you just want to eat your meal and then sit down and read a newspaper or something. What happened was, because we clashed all the time, because of our personalities clashing and things like that, we used to argue nearly every single day. And because my dad was tired or there was just issues there that we needed to deal with, what happened was it started actually getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm not going to go into details because they're not needed, but let's just say it wasn't a good relationship at all. And actually, over the years, as I've grown up, and as my dad's actually come and apologized for me for what he did, and also I've apologized to him for how I acted towards him, our relationship changed. It's taken time. It wasn't an instant thing. But now I can look back and I can say the last 5 years of my life, me and my father have started actually having a relationship instead of a relationship of arguing with each other. So if you imagine when I was a kid, all we did was argue. We never did anything else. Like, there were times, but most of it, all that I remember is bad stuff. How many of you guys remember bad stuff and not the good stuff? You kind of forget the good stuff sometimes, don't you? But what I'm saying is that God completely intervened and he changed my dad and he also changed me. Not in a way of forcing, but he was saying, I want to renew your relationship with your father. And he was saying to my dad, I want to renew your relationship with your son. And so my dad actually became more softer, less kind of aggressive. And I grew up and became more softer as well. And actually, as we battled through, as we worked through it, God helped us get through. And now my relationship with my dad is incredible. I love it. It's still not perfect, but it's a lot, lot better. And because of that, I'm enjoying a really good relationship with my father. And that's because Jesus has helped me and my dad come to that realization of the relationship that he actually wants us to have.
Thanks, Jess. So Shekinah's going to come and give us a 5 minute, does she? Want to?
I hate speaking. You guys are the most intimidating group of people because you're quiet and you're judgmental with your eyes. And I know you do it on purpose. I have to write things down because if I say it out of my head, it doesn't make sense because my head is crazy. I'm going to be brutally honest with you today. So, I am a pastor's daughter. I'm a missionary kid. I grew up in church and in conferences and in prayer circles and in family devotions and in Christian homeschooling, and I was just bombarded with Christian. Can you hear my heartbeat? No, it's really fast. okay. And then I got into leadership. I used to be a leader here. I don't know, you guys weren't here, but I was here. And I liked it, but I was here for like 2 years. And then last, like 7 months ago, I hit a stop sign. Not literally. I'm a good driver. But I realized that I am really fake. It's terrible, but it's true. I would get up and worship, but I did all of the actions, but I didn't feel anything, you know? Like, I knew when to raise my hands at the songs and when to close my eyes and when to say, whoo. And I was really good at it. Like, it was the best acting I've ever done. And I'm a really bad actor, so that's saying a lot. But, being a Christian was my job. It was a really hard job for me, but I did it really good. And then I got tired of being a fake. And I was like, this is disgusting. I am sick of myself. So I sort of just disappeared, didn't I? I disappeared. I didn't tell anyone I was leaving. I just left. And then I moved. And you guys are like, where did she go? And I'm like, I'm gone. But I had to take time and figure out what God was to me. Because I was like, I love the church and I love everyone here, but my relationship with God was not meant to be what everyone else's relationship with God is, right? Like, I don't feel the need to jump around and raise my hands and close my eyes. I feel God most when I'm looking at the ocean. That's when I'm worshiping God. Or when I'm helping out people who need my help. Or when I'm giving money to poor people because they need it more than I need shoes, right? So I had to figure that out, and I felt so bad because I'm really sorry that I was like that to you guys. I don't know, you guys didn't realize it, did you? I was really good, right? But I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did that to you. And I hope, thank you for loving me, I hope that you guys aren't doing that. I don't want you guys to be fake. Being fake sucks. I was so tired all the time because I was like, oh, I have a 9-to-5 job and then I have Sunday mornings where I have to be fake. And then I was like, okay. So now I figured out my relationship with God and it looks completely different because I don't need to be what other people think I should be, right? Does that make sense? Does this make sense to you? Okay. I'm not even reading this anymore. But yeah, the only, like, I didn't even know if I believed in God for a while because I was like, if I'm being fake, everyone else must be being fake, but no one else is being fake. I hope not. But I was like, okay, I know for a fact that God's love is real because I've felt it and I've seen it work and I've heard of other people's lives being changed, and there's only one reason, it's because of God's love. I mean, there's no scientific explanation or something for things that have happened in my life. And so I knew God was real, so I went and I searched for him like in my own way, and I figured it out, and I stopped crying myself to sleep. And I'm so happy. And it's just like, it's so freeing to not live up to other people's expectations. And I want you guys to be able to feel that. So please don't ever feel like you need to worship in a certain way or do your devotions at a certain time of the day, because I used to think that morning was devotion time and I was like, oh, I want to sleep. But you got to figure it out for yourself. I mean, your relationship with your best friend isn't like my relationship with my best friend, because we're completely different people. So, and that's my best friend. So your relationship with God is going to be completely different, and that's cool, that's awesome, because that's God, that's who he is. He is different because we're different, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. What else was I going to say? I had a really good thought. Right, so it was like, if you keep eating when you're not hungry, so I wasn't really hungry for God, but I kept eating and eating and eating, and eventually, if you keep eating, you're gonna barf it all up, you know? You're just gonna be sick of it, and then you're not gonna want any food, you're not gonna wanna smell it or anything, so you have to take a break from it, and then you have to learn to eat it right and on your own time and what your body wants, right? I love eating, so I have this thing with food. So you gotta learn to do what you and God work together well. Maybe? These lights are terrible. Do you have any questions? Comments? That was good? I'm glad. I was gonna come up and be like, God really helped me because I was scared and now I'm not scared. And I was like, oh. Why am I going to be fake again? So that was it. That was me. If you have any questions, or if you want to punch me in the face, I love you guys. You're awesome.
So you've just heard three stories from three very different people, all of which were very honest and very real. And the conclusion of all of them is that God's love is the only thing which matters and the only thing which can make a difference. So right now, we're pretty much done, but I want to give you guys an opportunity to meet with God today. So if you guys want to respond to God and just kind of be like, you realize that God's been in this room kind of like hushed with bated breath the whole time, kind of listening to what we've been saying. So I encourage you guys to come. He is here. He wants to meet with you, and his genuinely unconditional love for you is what brought me through that when I was 16. It's what's brought Shekinah through that. It's what brought Jez through that. And wherever you're at, whoever you are, God's love will bring you through. And not just that, he'll completely make you new. And he'll just change you. And it'll be amazing. If you guys want to meet with God's love today, and you want to meet with him, come up to the front. I will pray for you really quickly. If you don't feel like you want to, then we're all going to pray together right now and then we can go. So I'll pray. But I encourage you, if you feel like you want to or you need to in your heart, don't not come up. If what I said, what Jez said, or what Shekinah said struck a chord with you, then it would be really, really, really good if you came up, because God will meet you if you do and if you don't. So Daddy, I thank you so much for your love and your truth and for your reality. God, I pray that every single person here would be able to find you in a way that's real for them. In Jesus' name, amen.